The more I find out about Ringo, the more it seems like he was the Make-A-Wish kid who got to join the Beatles.
There are an infinite number of universes, and we're living in the one where Ringo gets to be in the Beatles.
Hello and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, the podcast that looks down at humanity and says, "Oh, you got an F, darling. Well done. Let's stick it on the fridge for everyone to look at." In every single episode, me, my co-host and my guests will be looking at absolutely the worst things in any particular topic that humanity has achieved. And this week, we're going to be looking at the worst Beatles song ever. But first, let me introduce you to my podcast co-host.
It's really hard to say that.
It is really hard to say. Thank you. Do you know what it is?
But people at home won't know how many times you tried to say that before you got it right that time.
No, they won't know. As far as they're concerned, I got a 100% record of introducing you, which I do. Anyway, my podcast co-host, Barry McStay. Hello, Barry McStay.
Hi, Ben Banfield. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. That was a very seductive Monday morning.
Yes. Yeah, people assume that we record these. I when I'm listening to podcasts, I always assume that it was recorded at the same time that I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
So if it's like, if I'm sitting at home, 8 o'clock in the evening, coughing quietly to myself in the back. Maybe should tell the people that our guest is slightly poorly.
Yeah, our guest is a consumptive 18th century poet who is sat there in a frilly white shirt smoking opium.
I'm just trying to make sure I'm not forgotten.
Yeah. you'll get a legacy.
Coughing away.
Leaving your mark on humanity. Our guest this week is a comedian, musician, Edinburgh Fringe regular, and creator of many successful online documentary series, Jay Foreman.
Hello.
Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Jay.
Yes.
Tell us what you're worst at in the world.
I've got a very clear answer for this one. It's dancing. I hate dancing. Every time, if we're going for a night out, I'm like, from the very beginning, I'm constantly panicking about, we better not be going to a club afterwards because I'm going to have a miserable time there. And the one time that I thought I might have been enjoying myself in a club, I went on holiday with a friend of mine, getting really, really drunk, and we were in New Orleans in this jazz bar, and I actually managed to find myself actually dancing, which is a very unusual thing for me. But then halfway through, he then like sort of like leaned into my ear and shouted, which by the way is one of the things I can't stand about clubs, is how loud it is. And he says, "Why do you always look so nervous when you dance?" And I had to stop.
Because people like you keep asking me things like that.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Any particular style of dance or just all of it?
I think the only kind of dancing that I can tolerate is when everyone in the room has to do the same thing.
So the Macarena.
Like the Macarena. Yeah. That's perfect. I can do that because I just have to follow everybody else's lead. You move your hand, you move your leg. But if it's everyone is expressing themselves in their own way, and you're supposed to dance as if nobody's watching and just sort of like move.
Jay dances as if everybody's watching. Yeah.
One of my favourite things I've ever seen is when you and me were at Bestival and Nile Rodgers was on, being brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
But you were attempting to dance while stoned and wearing Wellington boots. So you were inhibited with your feet and also extra paranoid.
Was it improved with the presence of Wellingtons?
I mean, I had a lovely time.
You are, as I said, a musician and a massive Beatles fan. That is why you are here. Ben is also a massive Beatles fan. I'm going to state for the record from the offset that I am not. I am a big Beatles fan, but in the same way that normal people are fans of the Beatles.
In the same way that, you know, you like ice cream and fun. You know, like, you not like the Beatles?
Yeah,
I've met anyone who actually actively hates the Beatles.
Oh, I've met a few people.
Most people I know who say they hate the Beatles, I think what they hate is how much attention they get and how everyone lauds them as being the best band in the world when all they really are is quite good. And to an extent, I agree. I think they are overrated, but I also think they're the best band in the world. That's how highly rated they are.
That's a very good. I always think people who don't like the Beatles or people who don't like Queen, they're two very similar groups of people. They're just joyless. They're the people who don't dance at other people's weddings. And they're the people who, if you show them a picture of your child, they'll go, "Yeah, it's just a child." That sort of outlook on the world.
They do, but I can understand people who don't like Queen. Now, I...
That's a whole different podcast.
No, but I like, thing is, I like Queen, but it's easier to understand why you wouldn't like them, because they're overblown operatic nonsense. And, like,
your point being...
like, I realise I'm speaking to two people who work professionally in performance. Because the thing, I think Jay would agree with me, the thing with the Beatles is they are the most sonically inventive group of all time.
Mm.
Especially considering with what they were working at, the technology they were working with at the time.
They did the whole thing on a difference engine. With cogs and
yes. You were such a big Beatles fan. You played a entire. Did you play the entire Beatles back catalogue for charity?
Not quite. What I did was to raise money for charity. I did a Beatles buskathon. This is when I was a student at York Uni, and we were all encouraged to raise money to do a hitchhiking trip. And my thing was to busk for 4 hours solid, playing back-to-back Beatles songs. And to make it easier to sponsor, I got this great big list that I sort of had on a piece of paper in front of me, saying, "Today I am playing 100 Beatles songs. Please choose a song and sponsor a song and then put the money in the bucket." So to do this, I had to learn 100 Beatles songs.
I mean, it's just D, G and A, isn't it?
Ooh. Most of them.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it starts already.
Come on, this is not a podcast about the Ramones. This is one.
Well, I mean, most of the Beatles songs I knew how to play already. It was the lyrics that actually were tougher to learn than the actual music. But that's not to say the Beatles songs aren't very, very well written and take some amazing guitar skills to play properly. I wasn't playing them properly. I was just doing D, G, and A.
Yeah, good. Well, that's the charity way of doing it.
I mean, to be fair, if you're playing Tomorrow Never Knows, D, G, and A is two chords too many.
I had to skip Tomorrow Never Knows. I had to choose. This is the thing. The Beatles did 186 songs, which you will be able to back up because you've got your book there, Revolution in the Head by, what's his name?
Ian McDonald.
Yeah. Which is an amazing book if you've not read it. It's just a list of every Beatles song with a paragraph or, in some cases, several pages about how it was made and who did what and the stories behind them. Anyway.
And why Ian McDonald doesn't like them.
I only discovered Ian McDonald last night when I was researching this. He is quoted in every... This is going to give away my research material, but he is quoted in every single Wikipedia article about the Beatles. Right down to who's playing what on each track, personnel by Ian McDonald, as if he was there in the background with him taking photographs and notating every single recording session.
Yeah, he's become the authority on it, and I used his book as a reference to find just to work out which songs to include and which songs to not include.
Mm.
Because it's a comprehensive list of all of them. So that's how I know there's 186. I had to choose to eliminate 86 of them, and that includes the song I've nominated today.
Excellent. So I think we've pretty much nailed the credentials of myself and Jay as outrageous Beatles nerds and Barry as an innocent bystander.
I think it's going to be very useful having Barry here, because it means that if we ever get a little bit too geeky, you'll bring us back down to non-Beatle earth and
I'll just shout the word Yellow Submarine if I'm feeling
that's our safe
a little
word.
Actually, that's a safe word. If we're feeling a little overwhelmed. Yellow submarine!
Anyway, right, let's crack on. So, Barry, you're going to go first with what you consider to be the worst Beatles song.
I feel really anxious about being the first Brit, because the two of you are staring at me, eyeballs burrowing into my soul.
That is a little bit like putting you in front of an audience and going, "So, Barry, tell us why you hate Oxygen."
Yes. I thought, first of all, before I say what my least favourite Beatles song is, I might basically say that I love the Beatles. I grew up listening to them. My mum was a massive Beatles fan. She had loads of vinyls and had more vinyls. She had more vinyls when she was younger. My granny gave away, her mum gave away some original Beatles vinyls, including an original Dr. Peppers. Sergeant Peppers. Dr. Peppers.
Burn him. Burn the witch.
Unless you mean...
What's the worst that can happen in a podcast about Beatles? Say Dr. Peppers. And my favourite Beatles song, I think, might earn me some kudos, is Eleanor Rigby. It's just a stunning piece of music. But also a big fan of She's Leaving Home, Strawberry Fields, Hello Goodbye. And I have a soft spot for Octopus's Garden, before we get onto the worst song.
So you should. It's got an absolutely incredible guitar solo. I love the fact that we're recording this and you're already terrified of the comments below the lines.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the person who's going to defend Hitler above a YouTube comments section.
Yeah. But all of this is a lot of the signs of, listen, I'm not a racist, but...
I also looked for, I googled the term worst Beatles song, and the Telegraph did a survey about 4 years ago.
The Telegraph, those great bastions of the counterculture.
I know, and it's an online survey, but it did have about 10,000 people reply to it. So,
okay.
And the number one ranked, or the lowest ranked, favourite song of Beatles' back catalogue was Revolution Number 9.
Yeah.
Which is, as most people know, a monstrosity of sound and cataclysmic nonsense at the end on the White Album. But also on that list were Obla Di Obla Da, Only a Northern Song, Run For Your Life, and Long, 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 which is really... That's a real case of knowledge of determinism.
Yes.
Long, long, long. It's a terminable piece of music. But my least favourite Beatles song is Maxwell's Silver Hammer, which for a lot of people, people who sort of have a passing knowledge of the Beatles will say, oh, worst Beatles song is Yellow Submarine, because that's... But it's not.
Do they?
A lot of people do think they know the Beatles, who are just sort of the average Joe in the street, who say, what's the worst Beatles song? Without going deeper into the back catalogue, from the ones they'll know, we'll say Yellow Submarine, because it's a kid's song, it's a bit simplistic.
It's probably the worst Beatles single.
It could
be. It's the worst song that the Beatles actually put forward and said, no, we think this is one of our best, we'd like you to pay specifically for this song.
Yeah.
Whereas the other songs you mentioned, like Revolution 9 and Long, 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 you know, they never actually proclaimed that they thought that was their best work. So in that sense, I suppose Yellow Submarine could be the worst.
It's a go-to for a lot of people. Or some people say Octopus's Garden, similarly, but they're kids' songs. I think they're aimed at that sort of market.
But that's the sort of people who just go, oh, I don't really like Disney films because they're aimed at kids.
Yes.
It's fun and it's not saccharine and it's like all the sort of goon show voices in the background.
Exactly.
Joyous.
I do like the fact from Yellow Submarine that it is noted that Donovan, who created writer of Mellow Yellow and lots of other songs, contributed the line Sky of Blue and Sea of Green.
Wow, what a genius.
Yeah. As if the Beatles were sitting around going, guys, we've really got to... I don't know how we're going to write this. I've got an idea about saying something about the sky and the sea. Maybe something to do with colours, but I really can't. I can't nail down. What colour would you guys say the sky is? And something that rhymes with submarine. A colour that rhymes with submarine. Is anyone like, Ringo, you've got the rhyming dictionary.
Yeah.
Hang on, Donovan's next door. Maybe Donovan can help us out. But yes, no, my least favourite Beatles song is Maxwell's Silver Hammer, which... is basically, it sounds like a kid's song, but it's about a mass murderer.
Yeah.
It's about a guy who goes around beating the brains out of pretty much anybody he comes across with a hammer. The song is about, is it Jean or Joan is the girl's name? Joan, I think, who is studying pataphysics, which is a made-up subject. It's the study of things that are unstudiable or something like that.
Only because it rhymes with quizzical.
Yes, yeah. It's yet another nonsense lyrics.
Yeah, that some lyrics are put in place just because they sound nice and will rhyme.
Yeah, and I think her name's only Joan because it rhymes with phone.
Yeah, that might well be true. So she gets a phone call from a guy called Maxwell who wants to ask her out on a date, and she's putting on her lipstick in the door. There's a knock on the door, and it's Maxwell, and he's there to hit her over the head with a hammer. Yay! And the lyrics are so... weird and childish. It goes bang bang Maxwell. By the way, guys, lucky for all the listeners, we're not going to play any Beatles tracks
because we don't want to get sued.
Yes, we're just going to do our own interpretations of them. Whether we like, wait till you hear Jay's version of Revolution 9. But yeah, literally, she opens the door and you get bang bang Maxwell's silver hammer came down upon her head. Bang 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 Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that she was dead. It's got that sort of skipping song timbre to it. Then he goes to school. The teacher makes him stay behind and write some lines. He bashes her head. He gets arrested. He gets put up before a judge. He bashes his head. It's like a budget version of I Don't Like Mondays. I Don't Like Mondays about a mass killing, but without the sort of musical adventure. Yeah, did you not know that?
I had no idea.
Oh yeah. It's about some kid shooting up a school in America. So that apparently that still happened in the 80s as well. Obviously it's been eliminated.
And I Don't Like Mondays is what she responded when she was asked, why did you do such a terrible thing?
Yeah.
Really?
So that became the subject of the song.
I mean, that's as good a reasoning as I could buy a gun, so I did it.
I could buy a hammer, so I did. And not only any hammer, but a silver hammer.
But you know, I've never actually considered the lyrics of Maxwell's Silver Hammer before, but now that we're analysing them line by line, I just there is a lot of unanswered questions. Why wasn't he arrested? Maybe it's a metaphor. Maybe Maxwell is actually society.
Do you know what? I think Paul McCartney says that Maxwell's silver hammer is sort of a metaphor or analogy for whenever something unexpectedly goes wrong. So, kind of, I think we're just trying to backsplain what he has created, because he's just inexplicable murder by this guy called Maxwell. He's trying to sort of align it with when something inexplicably goes wrong, out of the blue, something happens that derails. And I think this is towards the end of the Beatles' time together as well, so there's a lot of shit going down.
It was one of the very last things they recorded. In fact, there is no John Lennon on that track at all. He hated it so much,
yes,
he walked out, and he doesn't play or sing anything on that record. He's not
really
responsible.
Which
but
is
because
really
of the way
rare.
The Beatles' writing credit works, it still says written by Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah.
Even though, like, most of their career, they wrote all their songs separately, but they were sort of bundled in this writing deal together.
Yeah. And the great thing, reading about that recording session sounds like some sort of hostage situation. Like, McCartney made them record for weeks. He's going, no, really, guys, this is the song. Everything we've done up to now, this is the one we're going to pour. Like, did they record Please Please Me in like a day or something?
The entire album took about 20 minutes.
This is him going, no, Maxwell Silver Hammer, this is the song we've been remembering long after we're all dead. Lennon had been in a car crash a couple of days beforehand with Yoko, who was even more badly injured than he was. So he was in a bad mood, he was injured. She was in a double bed somewhere in the studio. Harrison said about it, very polite, and George Harrison always seems to like understate how much he didn't enjoy the latter years of the Beatles, and said, we took a hell of a long time on it. And Ringo was a little more forthright. He said, it is the worst track we ever had to record. It went on for fucking weeks.
Oh, Ringo.
Yeah, just Paul drove them into the ground trying to get the ideal version of it.
What's baffling with that is it is far and away the worst song on a brilliant album. Like, it's on Abbey Road,
yeah.
And Abbey Road is my favourite Beatles album, and it pains me to skip over that track.
Yeah, but yeah, Lennon called it some more of Paul's granny music, which is, I think he lumps in When I'm 64 and other songs of that into this sort of category of his music for grandparents who love a bit of bloodletting.
Yeah, well, that's a very grandparental way of looking at just this. I think what's good is you picked a song that I also don't like very much.
I know, I feel really relieved that neither of you turned to me and went, what, it's a masterpiece!
Most of the contenders that we found for shitter song, like, a lot of them have come from the White Album. And
yeah,
the song that I've chosen to bring and nominate is also from the White Album.
Okay.
Can I tell you what it is?
Go for it. Can.
It's Don't Pass Me By. Oh. Which is Ringo's song. Now, Ringo was not the songwriter.
That is the thing you do when you go to an album, you find the Ringo song. That's the worst one.
Now, what used to happen on the Beatles albums up until that point was Ringo would have one song to sing. It would be written by Lennon and McCartney, or they'd give him a cover to do, and it would be like a simple song, because Ringo wasn't much of a singer.
Yeah.
He didn't really have much of a range, and so they'd give him something nice and simple. He'd have like the children's song, and he'd have Yellow Submarine, which I actually think, for what it is, which is a fun children's song, it's very good. And you realise how good Yellow Submarine is when you hear the other versions of children's songs the Beatles did.
Oh.
That, you know, it makes Yellow Submarine seems better compared to them. So, for example, Maxwell Silver Hammer, All Together Now, you know, they're all supposed to be fun children's songs.
Yes.
And Yellow Submarine is by far the best out of all of those all shit songs.
Yes.
He's not joking. Ringo, in his first ever solo song, first song that he's written entirely by himself without help from Lennon or McCartney, was supposed to be an earnest song, an actually very good song. It's dreadful. So, Don't Pass Me By. There's no guitars in it at all, which is unusual for the
Beatles. It was too difficult for it. Ringo just turned up in front of the microphone with the drumsticks, just going, well, where do I hit these?
So,
who says to the Beatles, you know what, guys, I think what you need less of is the guitars.
He was with that guy from Decca who said Goots with Guitars are on the way out.
Yeah.
He goes, I told you. So the song Don't Pass Me By, where do I start? The instruments are strange for a start. It's two pianos, no guitars, drums, and sleigh bells. And the sleigh bells, by the way, they don't just sort of come in at the end or sort of like punctuate the song occasionally. They are non-stop. All the way to the end.
Is it
there
a Christmas
sleigh bells.
Song?
No, not at all. I'll tell you what the lyrics are about. That's coming later. Yeah. So it's about waiting patiently at home for a lady to turn up, but she doesn't turn up. And then the punchline at the end is that she's been in a car crash and gone bald. Ringo is a drum player. He's a very good drum player.
Where's your hair gone? I was in a car crash, guys. Oh, wait. The windscreen missed everything apart from my hair, which was stood up on end with fright, and it just sheared the whole lot off.
Well, that's genuinely the lyrics. Right at the end, you were in a car crash and you lost your hair. It doesn't explain it any more than that, just because it rhymes with something else that wasn't even that great a line.
People sometimes get like alopecia from shock.
Well, so like instantly.
Sometimes.
There's also, it's quite disappointing drums in that song, considering that Ringo, you know, finally for the first time he has a chance to actually write a drum part for himself and he can do whatever he wants. It sounds like a drum kit falling down the stairs. It's dreadful. And my favourite thing, I've been doing a tiny bit of research about this song, by which I mean I looked in McDonald's book.
Yeah.
Turns out, right, so Lennon McCartney, they were very fast songwriters. Not only were they very good and they came up with amazing hits, but, you know, they could do them overnight. They could do them in just a couple of hours. This song, Don't Pass Me By Ringo, took him 5 years.
Oh my god.
He'd been toying around with the
When the Beatles first got together.
Yeah.
And he's going, guys, we're all going to go our separate ways. We're going to write some songs, come in and bring, show us what you've got. Next day, Lennon McCartney showed up, they got 10 songs each. He goes, Ringo, what have you got? I've got the first word. leave it with me, guys. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, do you reckon he wrote it in chronological order? By 1964, he'd written the first two verses.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot there's also a really annoying violin going throughout the song.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Like a sort of a country and western fiddle.
But even that's played really badly. It doesn't appear to be paying any attention to the melody. It's just someone doing, like, really, really jaunty scales up and down.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
But is it true his second song was Octopus's Garden?
Yes, it was. But what a lot of people don't know about that song is that he had quite a lot of help from George Harrison.
Yes.
And I suspect, you know, given what we know about George Harrison, you know, he could be quite nice and quite passive. He probably co-wrote the song with Ringo, might have done way more than half of it, and then just decided he was rich enough. He had enough songwriting credits. He didn't want to make this a Starr and Harrison song. He said to Ringo, yeah, you can have it. It was your idea, and you're singing it, and, you know, you did the melody, but George is more than likely the one that came up with everything that makes that song palatable.
Yeah, because
when Ringo did a song on his own, it's just fucking awful.
The more I find out about Ringo, the more it seems like he was the Make-A-Wish kid who got to join the Beatles.
There are an infinite number of universes, and we're living in the one where Ringo gets to be in the Beatles.
The depressing thing is I'm convinced we're also living in the universe where Ringo is going to be the last Beatle alive.
I'm not sure if Ringo is still alive. I think he's just a robot that they programmed to say peace and love, guys, peace and love, over and over again. Anytime I see an interview with him, or like it's one of his YouTube clips from his house, it's just a guy going, peace and love, guys, Ringo out, peace and love.
I assume you've seen Ringo's on Ringo's Twitter. It's incredible. It's like when your mum texts you, and every single text ends with mum X. So Ringo ends every single one of his tweets with peace and love,
Yeah, but I don't think he's much of a fan of punctuation as well.
No,
I think it's very much a stream of consciousness with Ringo.
Or spelling.
Yes.
Because the thing is, Ringo was brought into the Beatles at the last minute, wasn't he? He replaced Pete Best.
Yeah,
because it was like Pete was a technically better drummer, but Ringo apparently had more personality, more the flavour of the Beatles.
No, that's not true. So no? Pete Best was, the main reason that they didn't like him was because he was grumpy, he was an arsehole, he didn't get on with the others, he didn't even have the same haircut. also was not a technically good drummer. Pete Best had a car, and that's why he was allowed in the Beatles in the first place. And
Jay, I have done so many comedy gigs for that reason.
Is that what you want on your CV? Like, Ben Vanderveld, the Pete Best of the comedy world.
Will give lifts to other better comedians.
Yeah, but Pete Best was like, they couldn't wait for a good excuse to finally get rid of him. And then it was when George Martin said, you guys are good, but not your drummer. I don't like him. He's not technically very good. So, okay, great. We can finally sack Pete Best. Mm. And they'd wanted Ringo, who was from Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, which was like a sort of a fellow group from Liverpool playing in Hamburg at the time. They wanted him because he was a very good drummer. And also, he was a nice guy. And also, you wouldn't think this when you look at the Beatles and their personalities and their dynamic. Ringo was the oldest.
Yeah.
You always imagine him to be like the baby of the group because he's the smaller one, because he's like the junior member who joined at the end.
He was the kid's songs and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's George who's the little baby.
Yeah, George was like 14 when they sort of got him to join the band. It's amazing. You know the way you get people nowadays who go, I like the Killers before they became the Killers, or I like David Rice before you know. I like the Beatles when they were the Quarrymen. They haven't changed since Stuart's. They're not the same since Stuart Sutcliffe died.
What's your favourite Quarrymen song?
All the Hamburg stuff. All the Hamburg. I mean, once they released "Love Me Do," that was it for me.
My favourite Hamburg story about the Beatles, specifically about Lennon. He was such a naughty boy. But one of the things he did, I think for a bet, is one night he stood on the balcony of the hotel room with a toilet seat wrapped around his neck, urinating onto passing nuns who were going to morning prayers.
I think, didn't some of them get deported? Did McCartney have to leave the country because he lit a fire in a club? I say lit a fire, I think he set a condom alight in the hall. was enough for them.
Yeah, but the things that condoms were made of in the early 1960s, that was a real threat. They were pretty carcinogenic. They're probably pretty carcinogenic now.
Asbestos.
You're not supposed to eat them.
Oh, that's where I was going wrong. Right, so we've had Maxwell Silverhammer, good suggestion. We've had Don't Pass Me By. It is time for my suggestion of the worst Beatles song. I'm going to tell you about three that almost made the cut. Right there, because one of them, unsurprisingly, is from the White Album. It is a George Harrison song called Piggies, which is this bitter, twisted, harpsichord monstrosity of a song. The weird thing with George Harrison, he got all into his spiritualism and his Hindu theology. He learned to play the sitar, for which I am moderately glad and thankful. And he wrote one of my favourite songs in the world, Here Comes the Sun. Mm. And he was an astonishing guitarist. You and me have talked about this before, Jay, the fact that he wasn't a showy guitarist like a Jimmy Page or an Eric Clapton, but he was this wonderfully melodic guitarist.
He just got on with the job.
That's a very British Football Manager in the 1980s approach. You're suggesting he was the James Milner of the Beatles.
Paul Scholes.
Yeah.
It all went through him.
But he was also capable of this incredible vitriol. So he wrote a song called Taxman.
Multi-millionaire George Harrison complained about having to pay taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
We could have an entirely different podcast about the Beatles song with the worst lyrics, and that one's surely up there.
It is, yeah. But it's got such
it's a
good
great
riff.
Song with dreadful words.
Yeah, it really does. We'll have a sub podcast about terrible lyrics.
He wrote a couple of really bitchy songs, didn't he? Only a Northern Song is him complaining that McCartney and Lennon get most of the royalties for the songs that even he writes.
Like, could he not have had a word with them? Like, you know, he sees them all day, every day. Could he not have just had a word with them rather than record a song?
Maybe the Beatles were unable to talk to each other except through music.
Yeah.
That was actually true towards the end.
It's probably true, yeah.
You've talked about lyrics. I've got the lyrics here for Piggy. So a bit like, it's a fairly thinly veiled attack on the police. And it's sort of, have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in.
Again, I've never analysed those lyrics before, but that's dreadful.
It's really bad.
He's using the word dirt quite a lot.
The thing is, if you listen to this last verse, George clearly thinks that he's writing the musical version of Animal Farm. Everywhere there's lots of piggies living piggy lives. You can see them out for dinner with their piggy wives, clutching forks and knives to eat their bacon. Oh, George, listen to your satire. Yeah.
See, when I was a kid, I heard that song and I liked it because I thought, again, it comes in the same category as the children's songs, like All Together Now, Yellow Submarine, Octopus's Garden.
In fact,
the only clue I had that it had anything to do with the police, we used to have this great big Beatles songbook with loads of fun illustrations, and the one for piggies was little pigs dressed in police helmets, and I thought that's just a bit of surreal nonsense. Why not? I have no problem with the song until I learned many years later he was actually trying to be clever and satirical and failing miserably.
Mm. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's generally speaking a good rule for any art. Don't try and be clever.
Is it?
and I would like you guys to download my comedy album, which is Laughing for Dum Dums. Anyway, despite this being a shit song, it's not my least favourite Beatles song.
it's a long walk to get to the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah. Other little notable mentions, there's Run For Your Life, which is it's a moderately passable country and western song with horribly sexist lyrics. Yeah, run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man. That's the end, little girl.
Mm. I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than with another man, isn't it? Well, yeah.
Oh, just not... I mean, I think they were trying to out Rolling Stone the Rolling Stones because they had some horrible lyrics about women as well.
Different times.
Absolutely. And then and one of the notable mention is Blue Jay Way.
Oh, that's a boring song.
Really is,
that's
a
song I had to, when I was choosing which songs to miss out doing my Beatle Buskathon, I had to skip that one, because if you're playing it by yourself with one guitar, it's just one chord, just the chord of C over and over again.
Oh, occasionally C diminished wanders in.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've prevaricated, and I should get to my least favourite Beatles song. I'm sort of cheating, because this is a song that was recorded during the time of the Beatles, but it's not by the Beatles. And it's not one...
I call bullshit.
You won't when I tell you about it.
Is it a Rolling Stones song?
No.
Is it an Oasis song?
It's not even a song, it's an entire album.
Sorry guys, we're doing a podcast about the world's worst Beatles song, and Ben has chosen a song not by the Beatles, and it is an album.
I'll tell it basically, however much I love that, like however much I hate certain Beatles songs, I can't pick a least favourite Beatles song. I love them too much.
You've got to kill your babies sometimes.
And you don't pick a bad Beatles song.
Listen, let me put my suggestion forward.
Go on then.
So it's an album recorded by John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Ugh. And it's an album called Two Virgins.
Oh.
Do you know about it?
Yeah, I do.
I know of it. I've never actually heard any of it. But in interviews, John Lennon's always saying, oh, we had such fun making this album. We got really high and had sex, and then we put the tape recorder on and made whoop whoop noises all night.
that's pretty much it. The most upsetting thing about it, so it was 1968 they made it. Cynthia Lennon, poor Cynthia Lennon, a real sort of collateral damage victim of the Beatles, went off on holiday. Apparently she came home to find Yoko and John sitting cross-legged, wearing white robes, staring into each other's eyes and not saying anything.
Oh, let me think, Sting is a wanker.
Yeah, oh God, this, it really is a tantric album. And Jay's nailed it. It is an album that is full, in John's description, and I think this is influenced by Yoko, he didn't want to record the sound of music and the vinyl grooves, but he wanted the music to go straight into the listener's minds.
Sorry guys, I'm just vomiting. Sorry, I'm just choking on a bit of pretentiousness.
Yeah, well, listen, Lennon was like an incredible musical trailblazer, but he was also a thoroughly pretentious wanker at the best of times. There are tape loops in it, there are sound effects, there are field recordings, there are conversations, and it ends with the sound of John and Yoko fucking. Yeah.
And they're in the nip on the cover.
Yeah, they are in the nip on the cover. That's, and obviously, even though it was the late 60s, EMI refused to release it and only released it when it was covered in a brown paper bag, like some sort of top shelf pornography. My two favourite things...
like some top shelf pornography or some really low-grade cider that only a tramp would like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is the Buckfast of the Beatles catalogue. My favourite thing about it, so 1968, the Beatles are in a pretty acrimonious place, but John convinces Paul to put a quote on the album, and what Paul's quote is, and you can hear him saying it through gritted teeth,
nothing
is,
to do with me, mate.
Yeah. He says, when two great saints meet, it's always an experience.
But let me talk about John and Yoko.
Yeah. John has a long battle to prove that he was a saint.
that's
brilliant, because that's him doing exactly what he was told, but also saying in quite a blatant way, this is shit.
Yeah. And then the other really baffling thing that I read about it is that Sissy Spacek released a song.
Sissy who?
Sissy Spacek.
Sorry, Sissy. I'm sure you said that name differently the second time. Sissy Spacek.
Sissy Spacek on
There's
the
There's got to be a tongue twister in there somewhere. Who's Sissy Spacek? What does Sissy Spacek say?
Sissy Spacek wore spectacles in space. Sissy Spacek.
Carrie,
yes. Yeah. So she recorded a song which was entitled John, You Went Too Far This Time.
Sissy Spacek recorded a song.
Yes.
About John Lennon's shit music.
Yes.
Is this how people used to communicate in those days?
Apparently so.
Before WhatsApp, you used to release an album with a message on it.
That's, mate, you know when people say that the 60s, like, music was deeper and a lot more important? That's what it was. Yeah, it was...
Who released a song called New Phone Who Dis?
Although, and since we've been slagging off the Beatles, I will say I Am the Walrus has one of my favourite lyrics.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
No, Semolina Pilchard climbing up the Eiffel Tower. It's just joyous nonsense.
Well, if we were talking about nonsense, can I put in a word for All You Need Is Love? There's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. There's nothing you can save that can't be saved. What the fuck are you talking about? And the best thing about it is that they finish all the lines with the words, "It's easy." You're like, it's not! I have no idea what you're talking about. Brian Epstein said the nice thing about this song is that it can't be misinterpreted. It's got a clear message. No, it fucking doesn't, you maniac. One bit everyone understands is All You Need Is Love, and the rest of it is pure bullshit. Pure, undiluted bullshit.
So the original title for that song was going to be How to Run a Successful Business.
Really?
No. No, sorry.
Let's pick the worst Beatles song of all time.
So what are our candidates again?
So our candidates were an entire album recorded by John Lennon and Yoko Ono called Two Virgins, Jay's, which was Don't Pass Me by Ringo, and yours, which was Maxwell's Silver Hammer. Now, since you two were not impressed by my wiggling out of the Beatles back catalogue, I'm going to not pick Two Virgins.
Justice.
Justice.
Hashtag
indeed.
Justice.
So, so it's between Maxwell Silverhammer and Don't Pass Me By. I think I'm going to have to go with the Beatles expert on this and go for Don't Pass Me By. Because there's a both of them have got a really grating jauntiness to them. But the one thing I will say about Maxwell Silverhammer is that it is played well.
It is at least
because I spent 3 weeks making it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's at least self-aware as Maxwell Silverhammer.
Yeah, exactly.
George Harrison said it's one of those songs you can whistle along to and hate at the same time.
But yeah, that's its one saving grace. Whereas Don't Pass Me By, it sounds like all the musical instruments are going in a different direction at the same time. So congratulations to Ringo Starr. And commiserations to the rest of the Beatles, because Don't Pass Me By, track 14 on disc 1 of the White Album, just showing my terrible, terrible Beatles completist nerdism there. Yeah, that is absolutely, definitively, the worst Beatles song of all time. Very quickly, myself and Barry are going to reveal to you the worst news stories of the week. I will quickly lead off with Pierce Brosnan has got himself in a spot of bother in the subcontinent of India. Because Pierce Brosnan has been found advertising a product called Pan Bihar, which sounds tasty, potentially.
Yes,
what it is a potent mixture of tobacco, crushed betel nut, lime and clove that is chewed by people and is apparently tasty. It makes you spit red, always fun, and has psychotropic effects.
Oh, that's quite Beatlesy.
It is quite Beatlesy. It also, many local governments are trying to ban it, and it is responsible for serious illnesses like mouth cancer and tumours. But it's okay, because 007...
has a license to kill you all.
Yeah, exactly. And
good news for Pierce Brosnan, then.
Yeah, so, the thing is, why is multi-millionaire and vaunted actor Pierce Brosnan advertising a potentially fatal chewing tobacco?
He's got to make up for his Irish accent in Evelyn somehow. I think he's still paying back.
There's a phenomenon of people who clearly don't need the money doing bizarre adverts. And one of the best candidates for this, sorry to bring this back to the Beatles again, but Ringo Starr, have you seen some of the adverts that Ringo's been in?
Oh no.
He's been in adverts for shoes, adverts for drinks, and he doesn't need the money. He probably just needs something to do, just something to get out of the house for.
Yeah, well,
remind people he's still around.
Yeah, at least the Ringo does have the best post-Beatles legacy. I mean, that's a whole...
In what way?
Well, that Thomas the Tank Engine was probably the greatest piece of work created by a Beatle after the split up of the band.
Not including the Frog Chorus?
Not including the Frog... Yes, Frog Chorus! I mean, now here is our...
Boom, boom, boom.
There are so many contenders for the worst post-Beatles solo Beatles track. And there's one I think is the worst that I don't know if you've heard. It's called... I can't remember the name of the song. It's something... The first word of the song is the month, and then the second word is 1971. by Ringo. So it's either called March 1971 or May 1971, I can't remember. But it's a song where Ringo sings about how he really misses his friends and he wants to battle back together again.
Ringo!
He is... And when he comes to town, I hope he'll play with me. It's worse when we stop recording. You've got to listen to it. It's amazing. I urge all of you at home to. I can't remember what the song is called. You know what we'll do? To make absolutely sure that if I say the name of the song, we'll edit out all the other months. The song is called January 1971, February 1971, March 1971. That's probably one of those three.
Well, good. My worst news of the week isn't really from this week. Given that you got away with a non-Beatles song, which is an album, I feel like a news story from a couple of months ago is fair game. And I picked this purely because of the headline. So first of all, this is the worst news of the week for Pokemon Go players. And the headline is... Sex pigs halt traffic after laser attack on Pokemon teens.
Have you seen the little sex pigs?
I mean, take your pick of any of the words from that headline. Where to start? So a couple of months ago in a village called Inchon in Sweden, which is about got a population of about 2,000 people, a couple of kids went out to play Pokemon Go of an evening, as you do. And they were in a park throwing imaginary balls at imaginary things because, you know, the park itself wasn't entertaining enough for them. When they were attacked with a green laser by a couple wearing pig masks made out of rubber. And as a policeman said afterwards, being attacked with a green laser is dangerous as it can damage your eye. So the kids ran home, shaken but not stirred, and the couple were later found. Later that day, they were spotted by incredulous motorists as they were having sex beside the little village's water wheel, still wearing their masks.
What a beautiful pastoral image.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah, there's great. So many lovely words in that story.
Isn't it great? What are we going to do this evening, darling? We're going to spend a couple's night in... No, let's go out. I'm going to get the rubber pig mask. We're going to go out, terrorise some teenagers in a park, and then have sex by the water mill. Which apparently caused traffic jams as people slowed to watch what the couples were up to. And it was the traffic jam that probably caused the most concern for the local police. The article finishes rather sinisterly by saying, the couple's identity and whereabouts remain unknown.
Oh my God, that's genuinely chilling.
I know, right?
I mean, you'd have thought...
Or else their whereabouts are unknown because they've gone home and gone, how are we ever going to top that? We can never leave the house again. Well, that's the greatest day of our lives.
You'd have thought people with some sort of pig fucking fetish in Scandinavia would happen in Denmark rather than Sweden.
Or in Eton.
There too. I mean, that's funny, but news has moved so quickly.
I know. Wasn't it the blissful times in the early 2016 when the Prime Minister fucking a pig was as bad as the news could get?
Yeah. Sweden. Do you know what, actually... If you think about the song Piggies as a love song between David Cameron and a pig, somewhat improves it, to be perfectly honest.
It's probably his favourite Beatles track.
Yeah, because you can imagine Cameron there. Have you seen the little piggies playing in the dirt?
They're so sexy.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Before we go our separate way, Jay, where can people find you on the worldwide interweb, and is there anything you would like to promote?
My Twitter is @jforman, my website is jforman.co.uk, and depending on when this goes out, you might be able to catch me supporting the Lounge Kittens on their UK tour, so check out their website, and I'm coming to a place near you.
Tremendous. And for now, thanks very much for listening, and we hope you continue enjoying some of the worst things in the world. Bye.
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 Thank you very much for listening to our episode with Jay Foreman. I feel so relieved I've gotten through that.
You nailed that, mate. I could
see.
Thank
you so much.
The looks in your eyes was like you were taking an exam which you had only just started revising for.
Yeah. If you want to find out more about Jay, do go to his website. You can buy his CDs, and there are some of his song lyrics and guitar chords on there as well, and his upcoming gigs as well. He's brilliant and lovely, as I think you've heard, so do that.
You can also, he's got a couple of brilliant web series on YouTube. One's with Mark Cooper-Jones from Wit Tank. It
is called Map Men, all about the history of maps, and there's another called Unfinished London, but it's about stuff like the bit at the top of the Northern Line that goes to Mill Hill East and why it stops there. Yeah, I mean, super geeky, but that is our target demographic, so yes. Get on that.
Speaking of you lot, please do follow us on Twitter, at WorstFoot, send us an email, worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com, get on Facebook after us, and please, if you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes, rate, comment, send it to a friend, all of that stuff. And please also follow us on Twitter if you want to really, really geek out over us. Ben is on.
I'm on at Ben Vanderveld.
And I'm on at Baz Max Say. Are you laughing at what geek out over us might mean if it's a euphemism?
Yeah, I imagine it's just ejaculating ones and zeros all over the shop.
Our guest next week will really be into binary because it's Ellie Gibson. It's Ellie Gibson talking about the world's worst console game. It's a really fun episode. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm sorry, just sounding like that chick's really into binary sounds like a nerd's way of saying she will do anything.
I'm so sorry, Ellie.
Yeah, so sorry.
See you next week in the meantime.
Yeah, we're going to be a lot more respectful.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.